right. Well, speaking of change, those little ones are changing every day, aren't they? One thing that you can count on in life is change, right? You can always count on change. Today, it seems like our lives are driven by technological change, and that's happening faster and faster every day. New apps on our cell phones change the way we see the world. We have new ways of producing and storing and using energy, and that changes the way we experience the world as we can go more places, do more. We can heat our homes and cool them more than ever before, things like that. And not just technology, but there's social and there's cultural change happening all the time around us too. We have new ideas about what is good and right in life. We have a new expectation for what's normal when it comes to families. New expectations for how we meet one another, how we relate with one another, right? There's change all around us. We can think about change in our personal lives too. You know, as children, all those little kids up there, we just kind of experience the world around us. Really, the adults are in charge. But as we grow, as we become adults, then our personal world and our faith changes too, right? And so at some point, we grow up and we become responsible for our own lives, caring for ourselves, providing what we need, getting a job, things like that. There's a change when we become responsible for our own children. Our lives change through marriage, and sometimes, right, our lives also change through divorce. Our lives change as loved ones die. Our lives change as friends and neighbors enter and then exit our lives as they move or other things. Well, today we're asking and answering a question, and you asked for it, and we're talking about change. Does God change? Does God's personality change? You know, this is a really common perception that we have today that, you know, the Old Testament, we say, hey, that Old Testament God, he seems to be all about wrath and judgment, all about laws. And the New Testament, we have Jesus, and now Jesus is all about grace and mercy and forgiveness, right? And so there's a big implication here if we think about it, if God really does change like that. Our world changes, that's for sure. Nobody doubts that our world and our lives change. And if God also changes, if God might change his mind about us from day to day or from month to month or year to year, well, if God changes, well, for one, that seems like we ought to change too. And maybe there's new expectations for us and how we live our lives. If God changes, then maybe he's also changed his ideas about how we live our lives. If God changes, that also means we have to wonder about what he thinks about us, right? Has God's attitude changed? If we're going to say that God was all about wrath and judgment in the Old Testament, but who? Wow, hey, he's all about grace and forgiveness in the New Testament. Well, if God can change like that, who's to say he hasn't changed back? Right? Who's to say that he hasn't changed his mind about us again? If God really changes, then how can we be sure that God still loves us? How can we be sure that God still wants the best for us? And indeed, if we look at the hard changes in our lives today and we believe that God really has changed, we might well conclude that God, well, he isn't here for us anymore. That he's not all about forgiveness and grace and mercy and doing what's best for us like we see in the New Testament. Because if we're honest, a lot of the changes in our lives are hard. Let me say it again. All of the changes in our lives are hard. And a lot of them, even though they may be hard, there's some changes that are good, some are bad. Some of the changes in our lives are bad. We know that. And if you think about it hard enough, you realize that if God changes, it's hard to be sure of anything. Because if God changes, he could decide to change everything. So does God change? This is a big question. Thankfully, it's a pretty straightforward question to answer from Scripture. But we can go beyond that, even beyond answering the question of does God change? We can talk about what that answer means for us in our lives today. So let's take a look at our Scripture reading. We read from the book of Hebrews. This was written to the early Christians in Jerusalem who had a Jewish background. This was probably written in the context of persecution of the early church, and it's clear that the book of Hebrews is really meant to exalt Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the new and the better, the great high prophet, right? And Jesus has come and he is better than all the prophets who have come before. He's the great high priest. He can make a sacrifice that none of the high priests had made before, and not only that, but he is the sacrifice, which is hard to think about. Jesus is the great king for God's people. He's better than David ever was, that ancient hero of old. Our scripture reading comes from the end of the book, and it's really full of concluding encouragements. So we see that encouragement to love one another. We see the encouragement to be kind and hospitable to strangers, an encouragement to remember those who have been imprisoned for their faith and mistreated for their faith, an encouragement to married faithfulness and commitment. And then we see the reason why all of these encouragements matter. In verse 5, the writer says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid.'" Never, well, you've heard that saying, right? Never say never, because we can never really be sure about things in life. But the writer of the Hebrews here says never, because he can be sure. Never means that God's attitude towards us won't change. We hear it even a little stronger two verses later in verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So God doesn't change, because Jesus is God the Son, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just in case you're thinking, hey, maybe this is another one of those New Testament, Old Testament changes, right? It's not just the New Testament that says this. It's not just the book of Hebrews that says this. We can look back at the prophet Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15 declared, "He who is the glory of Israel," and that's God, "he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he's not a human being that he should change his mind." And so he's telling us that God's attitude, God's personality don't change. God's attitude towards us doesn't change. And in fact, the prophet Malachi, a little later, he makes it clear. The fact that God doesn't change, that is good news for you and me. Malachi says, and this is the Lord speaking through Malachi, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." You're not destroyed because I don't change. "Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." And so what had happened was, long ago in the past, God promised Israel that he would bless them. He would be their God and they would be his people. And that people of Israel promised back that they would be faithful to God. They would keep his commands. They would live as his people. And you know what happened pretty much right away is they failed over and over and over again. And so God says, "I don't change. Even though you all have changed, I don't change. Even though you all have turned away from me and you've been unfaithful to our covenant together, my promises to bless you and to care for you and restore you are still all good." The fact that God doesn't change, he says, is why God's people have not been destroyed. It's pretty big if you think about it. So it's good news that God doesn't change. And we know, too, that when we try to make a change by our own power, when we try to make a change according to our own wisdom, what always happens when we're relying on ourselves is we end up being unfaithful. But God is always faithful to us. He does not change. And we can take another step further, and we can ask this question. If God really never changes, then why Jesus, right? If God's grace and mercy have always been there, then why did Jesus come to earth? Why did Jesus come to teach us, to die on the cross, to rise again in the first place? You know, if God never changes, then why do we even get this idea that the Old Testament God is wrath and the New Testament God is all about forgiveness and grace? If God doesn't change, then why did Jesus come? Well, the answer, we discover, is that Jesus came to clarify for us what God is doing in the world. Jesus says he is always faithful to what God is already doing. Jesus didn't come to do something brand new in the world. Jesus didn't come to bring something totally different about. Jesus came to show us what God has been about, all along. Jesus came to show us that God's mission has been to redeem and restore all people to himself, and it always has been, ever since Genesis chapter 3. And then Jesus came to fulfill that mission through his death on the cross and his resurrection. And because of that death and resurrection, we can say, you are forgiven. You are reconciled. You have received the grace of God, and you're one of his people. In the Gospel of John chapter 5, Jesus' opponents accuse him of teaching something different from what God commanded in the Old Testament. And this was kind of a theme in Jesus' ministry. I could have chosen lots of different places. Jesus had healed a man who could not walk. And Jesus' opponents didn't like this because Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath day. So Jesus' opponents said, hey, you have broken God's command to rest. And so Jesus gave them this answer. We read from John chapter 5. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself, for he can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Jesus says that what he is doing in the world is, he is just seeing and following God the Father in heaven. Jesus is doing nothing new here. He's just doing what God has always done. And so Jesus tells his disciples then to watch and follow him, because this way not only is Jesus remaining faithful to God's heart, not only is Jesus remaining faithful to God's mission and God's will for his people, he's not changing anything. When we follow Jesus, what happens is that then we become people who are faithful to God's heart, God's mission, and God's will for his people. We call that discipleship, right? And that is why Jesus came, to be God we could see, God we could follow. So what does all this mean for us as we think about the changes happening in our world and our lives today? Well, it means, one, that we never move forward by relying on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own ideas. It means we move forward through prayer, right? We move forward by asking how Jesus renews us, how Jesus calls us forward to new faithfulness today. Because God hasn't changed, but our world has, our life has. When our friends, our culture, or maybe even our children step away from the Lord and we feel let down, or we even maybe feel betrayed because they are leaving something behind that is so important to us, well, what do? I think we look to Jesus, who shows us the heart of God. And if we would imitate Jesus in that situation, that means we lean into those relationships with those people and we love them more fully, because that's what Jesus does. And we trust God to work on their hearts and bring them back toward faith. When we have friends or family members who embrace lifestyles, life choices, making bad choices, and we know they're, one, they're not pleasing to God, and two, they're hurtful for those people, and it breaks your heart to see it, well, what do? I think we look to Jesus, who shows us the heart of God. And if we would imitate Jesus in that situation, then our first move is not to condemn those people. We don't separate ourselves from them. We invite them to know God's love and kindness, even as we challenge them, right, to repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus did. And we challenge them to believe in every area of their lives, not just what they say, but with their lives as well. Or when times change from good to bad, and we face a lost job, we face a family conflict, we face a spiritual battle, what do? I think we look to Jesus, who shows us the heart of God. And if we would imitate Jesus in that situation, that means prayer. That means asking God for greater trust and faithfulness on our part. When we face a changing world that we no longer recognize, and when we ourselves begin to change and we're not sure that we recognize ourselves, well, here's the good news for you today. God doesn't change. His heart is to love us, and it always was. His will is to redeem and restore the world and all people, and it always has been. God's movement is toward us. Not away from us, but toward us, to give us his grace and forgiveness. And that's what he's always done. So when things are changing, and things are always changing, when things are changing, our faithful response is to ask how Jesus is calling us to new faithfulness today. Faithfulness to the heart, to the will, and to the mission of God, which has always been the same. How can we rely on the word of God to guide us in our unique situation today? Who can we pray for, and how can we pray for the people in our lives? Who can we love and serve and care for, just because God loves and serves and cares for that person too? You know, those are big questions, and there's no easy answers. Every generation gets to wrestle with these questions because our world changes. And if we're honest, we all get to wrestle with these questions new pretty much every month, every week, every day. How do we imitate Jesus, who shows us the heart of God? And we have to wrestle with these things always, because we change, even though God does not. And it's true, we actually get the best of both worlds here as the people of God, because we get to hang on to the best of what's old, and that's God's unchanging love and faithfulness. And we also get to embrace the best of what's new today, too, because Jesus calls us forward, right? He calls us forward to show mercy, grace, and goodness to our friends, to our families, and our neighbors, whomever they may be, whatever they may be like. Does that sound good to you? It does to me. It sounds like good news. Amen. Let's stand.